Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. How's everyone doing out there? Well, today I am using a virtual background. We're doing some work behind me. All out shoulder side. So I don't like using these fake backgrounds, but today we're forced to do some remodeling here in the Safety Wars Studios, all to serve you better. How's everybody doing out there? You'll notice some changes we're doing in the podcast. Maybe. And that's just going on. We've been off the air for a couple of days. We had a lot of stuff going on. Emergency things. Constantly, illness, you name it, we've had it. Everything going on here. So what are we talking about today? It's going to be very simple. OSHA news and views. We came on a little bit earlier to the YouTube platform. We're going to be going and pre-recording some stuff. If you're on the Safety FM side, this is all going to be pre-recorded on the video side. We're doing this on YouTube, and then we're releasing it again on all the other social media stuff later on today. A lot of stuff going on there. I'm just wondering why, and it might be, this is a religious holiday week up for us up here in New York. It was a Passover week and a blessed Passover, or whatever the appropriate greeting is for this week. New York was off for 3 days. Now, what's basically going on here? A lot of social turmoil up here. We've touched on a little bit on this show, the social turmoil. We seem to be, again, at ground zero here in New York State with a lot of this stuff over at Columbia. And I wanted to address this. I'm not going to give an opinion. Well, you got to support this side, or you got to support this side, or you got to do this, or you got to. That's not what we're about here. As everyone here knows, if you're a longtime listener, or a longtime viewer, you've known me. A lot of our listeners here. I tell you what. I go out, and I'm shocked. And Jay Allen had said this, and I don't think I'm telling anything out of school here. Jay Allen had said, hey, once you get going here, a little bit, you're going to be recognized. So I go to different places, whether they're family events. And that's what surprises me the most are the family events, where I go, hey, Jim, I saw your program last week. It was pretty good. Or, Jim, hey, maybe you should work on this. Hey, Jim, why don't you do it? And I'll take criticism because it means people are watching. People are watching. They may agree with me, but they may not agree with me. That's fine. I'm okay with disagreement on everything. At least you're watching. I've forgotten or I go to a conference. Hey, Jim, I always wanted to meet you. Or, hey, there's that crazy guy with this baseball jersey that's out there. Or, so it feels good. But everyone here knows, I'm getting off subject as usual. Everyone knows what my past has been with the political stuff. I want to point something out. They, and I'm going to use the word they, it doesn't matter how you define them, leaders of the movement, activists, government officials in some cases, social movement leaders, doesn't matter. However you want to break it down, doesn't matter. What do they see you as? You're a volunteer. You're volunteering for something. So exactly, if you're volunteering for something, what is your worth in that? Zero. That's what your worth is. Zero. A lot of these folks, they say, well, if this is a young volunteer, especially college, then what do they know? We're not going to listen to them. But what do we need? We need a couple of things. We need people to show that we're getting support for our movement. By the way, this is left or right, no matter what. They say, well, we need donations. So maybe if they're not college students, maybe a little older, we want donations because you have the youth angst that gets brought into this. All this stuff goes in here, and what happens? Today in Columbia, a university in New York City, and some of the other universities, and also at the local protests here, Google was another one. There was another report of Google employees getting fired over tech protests. Who's paying the price, ultimately? If you're involved in a successful movement, maybe you'll get some benefit from it. What if you're involved in not so successful, or you're involved in a public information campaign? What are you getting out of it? Now, what's in it for me? Well, Jim, I'm trying to build a better society. Okay, you're trying to build a better society. I get that. That may not be the best. That may not be the best way of going about it, because right now we have a number of college students that are being arrested, that had been arrested. Now they have a criminal record. Was that criminal record worth it? And by the way, the leaders in the movement, are they the ones getting arrested? Not usually. And if they do, do they have capacity and resilience to respond? Absolutely. So this, too, is part of the safety war. What's in it for me, and what's going to happen here? So I want you to have that in mind when you are doing this here with everything, with this, right? When you're involved. I don't care what side you're on. It could be one side or the other. People are there, and they will often take advantage of you. The other thing is this, if they keep on making stupid, quote-unquote, stupid mistakes, they're not organized, they don't have stuff organized with the media, anything like that, you're gonna, say, Jim, what organizations are you affiliated with now? The answer is one. I attend meetings at one organization, and it's been around for about 75 years. Well-developed, well-organized. All right. The people who know who that is, but all organized. And I'm willingly, and they're primarily focused, not in activism. They're focused in education and awareness. My protesting days are over. Here. All right. Something really comes up. Now we're into education, right? Maybe some small political campaigns here or there. I get called up for advice on political campaigns from my other friend, Jay, not Jay Allen. I have another friend, Jay, whose relatives were working on a political campaign. I helped them out on it, gave them some advice, things of that nature. But this is how I see it is, okay, you're doing the work. You're paying the price also. I had one of our listeners here I had spoken to many years ago, and I said, oh, you're getting involved in politics. So you got to be very careful. The other thing is is that we have a whole thing with cancel culture here. There are people now at Google who are losing their job today, allegedly. This is what the news reports are, based on a protest that they may not have even been involved with. They may have been a passerby and somebody noticed them on the camera. So these are the things you got to be wary of. Is who's paying the price? Are you going to lose your job? Are you going to destroy your reputation? Are you going to lose money? Are you going to lose time? Because out of everything, hey, job is replaceable. Time, not replaceable. Money is replaceable. Time, not replaceable. There is one individual that I used to be a Jim Poelzel groupie back in the day when I was involved in politics. Teenager. She eventually went to a very prestigious university, got a very prestigious degree, and started to write things that people found shocking politically. Didn't advocate for anything illegal, just advocated for certain things. It ended up ruining, now that was in early 2010s. She did make some headway in the national media. And what ended up happening, cancel culture. It got to the point where she could not do anything. I'm not even sure what she's doing. She's not on social media, doesn't return phone calls, has gone off the grid. Not that I've been calling her, but as an off people I know, they don't know what happened to this person. Every once in a while, she'll put a post in social media on something, but she's completely off the grid and had to go off the grid because it got to the point she was living in Washington, D.C. She was on a train in the subway in Washington, D.C., and there were people literally who were stalking her and coming up to her and cursing her out on the train. Now, a criminal level harassment that she could not do anything about. In my opinion, criminal level harassment. And it was just for voicing a point of view. You don't want to be in that situation. You want to be in radical organizations, be in radical organizations. But I would be very, very careful as to what organizations and who you associate with when it comes to this stuff. So what I am going to do is we're going to take a short commercial break, and we're going to be back with the OSHA news. For safety words, it's Jim Poelzel. Wrong one.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Words team at safetywords.com or call Jim Poelzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
So recently, a comment on that last commercial there. Learning is vital. We had a conversation with a new client yesterday, and the client had pointed out to me that they were pursuing HOP. They just needed me for my technical ability, but they're pursuing HOP, but they're going to include me in their implementation of it. So I was under the impression based on some pre-interviews and pre-talks, pre-meetings sort of thing, that they were not pursuing human organizational development and performance, I'm sorry. And the person on the phone said, hey, we're doing a human organizational performance. Have you ever heard of Todd Conklin? Have you ever heard of Jay Allen? Have you ever heard of, and they went through the whole thing. And I said, I said, you do realize we're on the same network. And he says, yes, someone mentioned something about that. But, I said, okay. So if you're interested in working for us, with us, 845-269-5772. And the reason they gave for that is that they were not, that behavior-based safety was not making it. And they're tired of banging their head against the wall and again and again with behavior-based safety. And I said, okay, great. And I make a little joke here that they're in occupied territory. Yeah, it is occupied territory, believe me. if you grew up with behavior-based safety and you've invested a lot of money in it and a lot of time and a lot of effort, a lot of employers, a lot of people don't want to say that they made a mistake, so they continue to do the same thing over and over again, which is insanity, as Einstein said. Department of Labor, again, cites Hanover Foods for exposing workers to dozens of safety and health hazards, proposes $761,000 in penalties. Again, everyone is, and I made a mistake, I mentioned the name, everyone's innocent until proven guilty, everything's litigated, vacated, negotiated on downward, usually with these things, and this is just what the proposed are, not what the reality is, what's going to be at the end. U.S. Department of Labor has, again, found a company, a large food manufacturer, with a history of hazardous workplace safety practices in violation of dozens of safety and health hazards at one of its facilities. The producer of glass-packed, canned-frozen, refrigerated, freeze-dried, and snack foods products under a certain brand, as well as other private labels, also operates eight other manufacturing plants, including five in Pennsylvania and one in Delaware, and one each in Delaware, New Jersey, and Guatemala. In October 2023, workers, inspectors with OSHA opened an investigation at this plant in Pennsylvania in response to a complaint alleging hazards involving the company's handling of highly hazardous materials, including the process safety management program. Now, at 70 violations, over three quarters of $1 million in fines. Repeat violations. All right, so here we have, and again, this is one that you have to go and you have to bookmark, because it says more than 190,000 illnesses and approximately 50,000 deaths annually related to chemical exposure. We're going to click on that before we get into the thing. And, you know, so this is their website here. A toolkit for employers and workers. American workers use tens of thousands of chemicals every day. While many of these chemicals are suspected of being harmful, only a small number are regulated in the workplace. Who's been saying that for 30 years? I don't know. As a result, workers suffer more than 190 illnesses and 50,000 deaths annually related to chemical exposures. These are OSHA's numbers, not Jimmy Poulsel's numbers. And they reference, again, I'm going to have to get access to this article and go through this. Green chemistry, this is from the NIH.gov website, so I'm allowed to share it. It's not copyrighted, Google. Not copyrighted, YouTube. This article, not copyrighted, Facebook. This article summarizes the University of California's chemicals policy. This is from Green Chemistry in California, Framework for Leadership in Chemicals Policy and Innovation. Article by Michael P. Wilson, Daniel A. Chia, and Brian Ehlers. I'm sorry if I destroyed your name on there. All of them from allegedly the University of California, Berkeley. This article summarizes a University of California chemicals policy report commissioned by the California legislature. The report makes the case that longstanding weaknesses in TSCA have produced a flawed chemical market in the U.S. that undervalues the hazardous properties of chemicals relative to their function, price, and performance. These market conditions have dampened industry interest in cleaner chemical technologies, such as green chemistry. A new U.S. chemicals policy will need to improve the flow of chemical information. And all this stuff here, now we have our citing here and everything else. So OSHA has, this is what they have said, is this. Now, my commentary, 190 illnesses, 50,000 deaths. And again, if you want to go to OSHA tomorrow, they are having a web stream because the 28th is on a Sunday. But they're having a web streamed on YouTube, their workers' memorial ceremony. So go look that up on OSHA. That's a really good thing. All right. So American workers use tens of thousands of chemicals every day. Now, we always hear, and this is what my issue here is today. This is my rant. My rant is that we always are hearing about OSHA, 5,000 workers die every year in the workplace. Okay, that's based on the 300 logs and some workers' comp data and all the other stuff that we know. But here we have 50,000 deaths. If you listen to the AFL-CIO, they placed the number at about 120,000 deaths. I don't know where the number lies, but when you have the low end, 50,000, I think, what do we have to celebrate here? That's 55,000 deaths a year. Now, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go to Google, number of people dead in Vietnam War. All right, there are 3.8 million casualties in the Vietnam War between everybody. What about the American total? Is the American Civil War, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not, okay, war fatality. This is according to the stuff. Oh, okay. Here, I shouldn't have went through here and now they want money. I just want the number of Americans killed in Vietnam War. I believe it's 57,000. Remember, 58,220 people, right? Casualties in the Vietnam War. How long the Vietnam War last? 10 years? That's debatable too, because we were in there earlier than that. Okay. So now, according to their own numbers, 55,000 people, OSHA, give or take. It's one Vietnam War every year. Really? Are we deluding ourselves here? Really? Now let's get back to the story here. OSHA cited the company for 70 violations, including 9 repeat, 51 serious, and 11. This son of a gun is like 107 pages long. We're not going over 107. We're going to hit the major ones here. So let's see. This is being broadcast. Okay. Let's zoom in here so maybe you can see it at home. All right. Perhaps we can see it at home now. All right. So this is all under the Freedom of Information Act. And let's see here. I get it, OSHA, I get it. All right. We're going to zoom on down here. Citation 1, item 1A. Process safety management violation, 1910-119. Maximum intended inventory of anhydrous ammonia. And that's a pneumonia if you're from New Jersey. Ammonia, anhydrous ammonia. 16,131. And then we have another PSM where you have to have an evaluation, an assessment done, a hazard assessment. Nothing on there. Again, all related to process safety management, a whole bunch of stuff. And again, there's 105 pages. We're not going through 105 pages. Okay, here we go. Citation on item 4A. No training in process safety management. $12,676. Again, a whole bunch of stuff with process safety management not done. Zero violations here. Here we have the next one, citation on item 6, type of violation serious. No correction and deficiencies in equipment that were outside acceptable limits. What do we got for that? $16,131. Citation 1, item 7, serious. Another $12,000 for no written procedures. Great, great, great. Citation 1, item 8A. The emergency response plan did not address to the extent not addressed elsewhere personnel roles, lines of authority, and communication. This is the whole thing with you have to have an org chart, and also, when you're dealing with highly hazardous materials, I'm going to speculate and say you probably need to have a really robust EAP, emergency action plan, or this might be a 1910-120 type of cleanup possible or response, right? You know, something here. Again, we talked about yesterday with somebody who I was on a conference call, specifically on the Uvalde school shooting with breakdown of, quote, not Jimmy Poulsel saying this, this is the investigation saying this, that and the incident command system, right? Now we have citation one, item 8B. Again, stuff and with the process safety management. The plan did not address, to the extent not addressed elsewhere, emergency recognition and prevention. That was zero. Here we have a big one. What do we got here? Citation 2, item 1A, a repeat violation, 1910-119-D2ID. Information concerning the technology of the process did not include safer upper and lower limits for such items as temperatures, pressures, flows, and compositions. So you got to have that. What's your safe upper and lower limits? That was $88,721. Citation 2, item 1B is zero. But again, process safety management issues. Citation 2, item 2, this is a repeat. No emergency response plan for the entire plant in accordance with 29 CFR 1910.38. But they cited them under the process safety management standard. That was serious, and it goes into lurid detail. Up to letter letter L. Wow, $101,398. Again, I think training your people. I'm gonna say this: training your people and everything else, doing these plans, probably a lot, hell of a lot less than $101,000. That's me. Citation 3, item 1, type of violation other than serious. The employer did not retain the process safety hazard analysis updates or renewals for each process covered and documented resolution described in 1910-119. That's $0 on that, other than zero. Okay, that was one set. And that is a grand total of $394,068. But there's more. Next set of citations, probably at another facility a couple of days later. Here we have citation one, item one, general duty clause violation. All right, and let's refresh our memory. You need certain things for a general duty clause violation. And those are, let me pull it up here. Okay, you need the elements necessary. The employer failed to keep the workplace free of a hazard to which employees of that employer were exposed. The hazard was recognized. The hazard was causing or was likely to cause the death or serious physical harm, and there was a feasible and useful method for the hazard. So OSHA has to go and prove all of these elements necessary for there to be a general duty clause violation. And their contention here is this. Okay. A pallet storage rack system used to store motors and other replacement equipment was not anchored to the floor. Again, when you just can't throw up a rack, it's going to be anchored somehow. And that also likely includes a pull test to make sure that the concrete that you're drilling it into, or whatever you're drilling it into, right, especially concrete, could actually support that load. All right. And that went on again. And then they go and they have to give you one feasible means of abatement on there, at least one. With that, and they could do that at $12,676. So how much does it cost to do a pull test? A hell of a lot less than $12,676, I'll tell you. The whole job is probably $1,000. So, and that's, and it's good, you're not going to have an injury, at least related to that. Citation 1, item 2A. Walking and work, and this was a violation of, that's not, it's housekeeping. 15,211. Citation 1, item 2B was 0. Again, safe means and of exit and entrance. We're going down here on something else. Citation 1, item 3B. That was, okay, here we go. We got Sirius. Again, Anchorage is all related to that. We're on page 55 here. Okay, here we go. Another citation. Citation 1, item 4A. Safeguards designed to protect employees during an emergency, for example, sprinkler systems, alarm systems, fire door, and exit lighting were not in proper working order at all time. And they list that out, $7,604. Citation 1, item 4B, no missing exit signs, allegedly. That was 0. Citation 1, item 5A, the employer did not inform and expose employees by posting danger signs or by any other equal effective means of the existence and location of and the danger posed by permit spaces. 1910-146-C2, $12,676. Citation 1, item 5B, the employer did not provide at least one attendant outside a space, confined space, that was 0. And more confined space entry violations, that's general industry, not construction. Again, it looks like a training thing and a training thing, right? Why would anybody who knew this just not do it? Powered industrial trucks, citation 1, item 6. That was only one citation here. Powered industrial trucks and found to be in need of repair, defective, and everything else, broken equipment being not being used. $7,604. Citation 1, item 7. $16,131. No machine guarding and a auger of some sort related to food. Citation 1, item 8A. $10,140. Grinding wheels, right, without a work rest, right, within 1/8 of an inch, a half an inch. $10,140. Citation 1, item 8B. The distance between the abrasive wheel periphery and the adjustable tongue or the end of the safety guard peripheral number at the top exceeded 1/4 of an inch. $0. And hold on, I got to hit mute here for a second here. We're going to go to commercial break again. Looking good. What time? Where is the practice?
501 Zucker Park.
Okay, I'll be done in 15 minutes.
Dad!
What? It's at 5:30, right?
5:15.
Okay. Okay, we're going to finish this out, and then that'll be it for this evening. It's a shortened broadcast. We're going to finish this out here, and then we're going to, it'll be a shortened broadcast here tonight. Something just came up. This is what happens when you're broadcasting at home and your children are off from school. Citation 1, item 9A, type of violation serious. Again, what was this? Damaged parts. Right? This is under 1910.303. Degraded or corroded parts. Process equipment. 16,131. Citation item 9B, except as elsewhere required or permitted by subpart S, light parts of electric equipment need to be guarded. That was $0 there. We're going on through here. Serious violation here. Again, electrical hazards. I'm just seeing the major ones because there's so many on this. Citation one, item 11, flexible cords or cables used as a substitute as for the fixed wiring of a structure. Okay, extension cords are just, right, extension cords are just temporary. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, they're just temporary. You need to have fixed wiring if it's, you know, they're $10,140. Citation two, item one, repeat serious. Again, a housekeeping issue. This is a repeat housekeeping issue. $76,054. Again, and it's a pain in the neck to document whether you certified that abatement there. Citation two, item 2A, a repeat violation, $63,000. Again, exit routes are not arranged so that the employees would not have to travel toward a high hazard area, nor was the hazard effectively shielded by suitable partitions or barriers. Going on and on. Citation two, item three, repeat series sprocket wheels, which are not 7 feet or less above floors and platforms, are not included. $38,022. The next one. Exit signs not illuminated, and that's a repeat violation, $2,530. Citation four, item one, lockout devices, other than Sirius, not used for lockout and tagout purposes, $0. And we'll go through here until we get one. These are, no, on that set, the grand total was $317,108. A lot of stuff going on here. And we have a number three here, right? And this was on another occasion here. Citation one, item one, serious, no eye protection, $12,676. How cheap is eye protection and face protection? Can't be that. It's not $12,676. Citation one, item two, hand protection, specifically with chemical dicing blades, right? You're supposed to use cut-resistant gloves. Cut-resistant gloves are not necessary. Your old-fashioned leather gloves. $12,676. Citation one, item 3A. The employer did not designate a program administrator for a respiratory program. $10,140. More respiratory protection stuff. No fit testing, it looks like. Breathing air. Did not meet the requirements for grade D. Certificate of analysis, right? You need for those. That usually ends up in the garbage. Citation one, item 4A. Housekeeping, $7,604. Citation one, item 4B. Closed workplaces were not so constructed, equipped, and maintained as to prevent the entrance or of Harvard. So they have animals here. No money on that. Here is another one. Citation one, item 5A, HASCOM. Did not have a HASCOM effective one, a written one. $7,604. And that's what we got there. So that's how you get there to that number, right? So what's the moral of the story here, fellas? And ladies, I go back to that old movie, right? Liar, Liar, Jim Carrey. How do you avoid having these problems? How about you obey the law? Number one. Number two, have a commitment to your employees, not to get them hurt. Right? And we're going to cover more of this later on Safety Words. This was a truncated broadcast here. And I will get to everybody later on. And I will see you tonight for Safety Words. This is Jim Polzel.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.